Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, all. You know, before we get started with today's episode, we wanted to tell you about our friends at the Umbrella Corporation.
Umbrella Corporation is a leader in a diverse range of fields, from arms manufacturing to genetic engineering to wedding jewelry.
But Umbrella Corporation is not just a company. It's part of the community. And you can see that in its commitment to help rebuild Raccoon City after the Nemesis incident, for which it admits no responsibility.
That's right, Matt. And you know what? I have personal experience with the Umbrella Corporation. With their C-virus serum, I turned my dog into an unkillable zombie dog, which really makes my home feel secure.
And the best part is, you don't even have to choose to use Umbrella, because Umbrella Corporation has achieved total dominance over every relevant industry and is more powerful than any single nation.
Right now, our listeners get 30% off their purchase of a first aid spray with promo code PLAYED. Wow.
Wow, that's promo code PLAYED for 30% off your purchase of a first aid spray. New customers only. And thanks to our partners at Umbrella.
Okay. Okay, we read what you asked. Please let Mary go. Please let her go. What have you done with Mary?
We jump kick dogs and reunite with our undead sister as we discuss Paul W.S. Anderson's 2002 film Resident Evil and the Resident Evil 4 demo this week on Get Played.
Welcome to Get Played, your one-stop show for good games, bad games, and every game in between. It's time to get played. I'm your host, Heather Ann Campbell, along with my fellow host, Nick Weiger.
That's me, Nick Weiger, and I'm here with our third host, Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the premier video game podcast, Get Played. We're talking Resident Evil today, guys. And
I'm scared.
Re-R-E.
Re-re?
Yeah, re:re.
Like regarding?
Regarding
Henry.
Resident Evil. Henry.
It's my favorite JJ movie.
It works better in text. Re:re.
He thinks it works better in text. Good thing this is an audio format, you idiot.
I gotta be honest. No week of engaging with content has made me more aware of how bad the rebrand, the Western rebrand of a video game is than calling Biohazard Resident Evil. It no longer applies to any of it.
Why?
Like it worked for like a mansion. It's like, oh, it's, it's a mansion and you're in a house and it's Resident Evil.
Mm.
But at this point, just fucking like let it go.
So some of the Japanese rebrands in the US, in North America and globally, I understand. Like, I get why they called the PC Engine the Turbo Graphics, because PC Engine makes people think of personal computing in the US, and that's kind of stodgy, and Turbo Graphics so the X sounds cool. I understand why they rebranded Rockman to Mega Man, because you hear Rockman and you think of some sort of rock golem. Like, you think of some sort of creature, you don't think of like a guy who fucking rocks.
Yeah.
But Biohazard to Resident Evil, I've never quite understood why they made that change. Because Biohazard is cool. It sounds cool.
But maybe it makes people think of like piss and shit.
I guess that could be it. Like at a hospital.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, like a dirty needle or something. Or like,
I think you'd have to be around that stuff a lot in order for that to be the like, my brain goes to like Hollywood movies and like, oh, what if something was called Biohazard? It unnerves me if your first thought is piss and shit.
Well, it's the first thing because it's I'm not touching that.
I would not want to touch
it. It's like
that
a
either.
Safety thing. So, like, the fact that actually that it's not top of mind for you, go ahead and play it, splash around in it, see if I care.
Splash around in it?
Jesus.
Fuck.
God.
Disgusting. I don't want to think about that shit.
Well, I'm not doing it.
No.
You can't make me. It's a biohazard.
Oh, my God.
A biological hazard.
The only thing I think of is at the time, roughly around the time of the game, the first game, first couple games, there was a band called Biohazard. I don't know if you remember Biohazard, the rap rock band.
No.
Proto rap rock band.
No.
Sounds like my shit, though.
Do you hear that song? Slam. Let the boys be boys. That was Onyx X Biohazard. That was a crossover.
No, I had one of the
original rap metal crossovers. Yeah,
that should come back.
That should come back. I loved it. I love that era.
Crossovers or that song?
Rap rock.
Yeah, rap rock.
New metal.
Yeah. Honestly, don't even get me fucking started, dude. We need a new System of a Down album yesterday. Wow. Okay, so Jordan, our engineer Jordan Duffy, is here in the studio, and in the studio sense where there's like a wall between us.
Yeah.
We're all in the same room.
Yes.
And Jordan has pulled up Google.com and is showing Biohazard on the screen.
That's
here.
Right.
These are the coolest guys I've ever seen.
Yeah, they're cool.
But why, if Biohazard was the trademark that they were worried about infringing upon, wouldn't that be, it's a band. Biohazard. Also, no, it's a term. It's just a fucking term.
And also, these guys, all four of them look like they would have been at January 6th, actually.
I wonder if we can get some context as to why. Okay, it says that this is Reddit is the source, so who knows? But this says that a Capcom executive. Yeah, so it's probably true.
Yeah.
A Capcom executive. The director of communications at the time, Chris Kramer, said that it would be impossible to trademark Biohazard. Among others, another game, which I haven't heard of, and a band already were using the name. So that perhaps was part of it. So they pitched different names internally and settled on Resident Evil. Which is it's a cool brand. I just liked it. I liked Biohazard.
Why not spell it differently then?
What do you mean?
B-Y-O hazard.
Oh, biohazard.
Bring your own hazard. Could, like, that's the, what people are thinking then.
Yeah, I'm going to bring some piss and shit and splash around it. Like a nasty freak. Hey, this month, we're talking Resident Evil this week. R-E-R-E, as I said, with a colon in between. But next week, we're going to be talking about Metroid Prime Remastered as part of our We Play, You Play. So We Play, You Play, Metroid Prime Remastered coming next Monday, March 27th. Check out for that.
God.
Check that out.
Already? Already?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Have you finished it yet, Heather?
Oh, God. No,
have you completed Metroid Prime Remastered?
No, I haven't finished it.
Have you rolled credits on this game?
I've rolled opening credits.
Also, I can we go back to R-E-R-E for a second?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Lloyd?
Okay.
Well, I don't get it.
From
Lloyd?
From Entourage. R-E-R-E.
Ari Gold, the character from Entourage.
His assistant's name is Lloyd.
Yeah, his assistant was probably trying to get his attention.
Yeah. Yeah, Ari Gold's daydreaming about, you know, his next box office smash.
I want you to know I'm under the weather. And if I wasn't under the weather, I would be screaming, stop it.
Heather, they say laughter is the best medicine.
It's true.
Well, then you'd better start trying to make me laugh.
Well, we have much to discuss in the RE universe this week. RE colon RE. And no, I'm not trying to get Ari Gold's attention and entourage.
But Vince will do the movie.
But before we get to that, it's time to ask, as we always do, what are you playing?
Hey, guys, what are you playing? I'll go first.
I got to say, it's such a gaping absence this week, not having the Resident Evil Merchant. Like, I really thought that he might make an appearance here.
It would have been like the one.
It would have been the one for him to come back to.
It kind of, yeah. And it's not like, I do want to say, Heather's read was perfect.
Yeah, it was a great, it was really very good. Professional read. Yeah. I mean, it was just, you know, just kind of a different energy than we normally have.
Yeah, if there was a week for the Resident Evil Merchant to return, it would have been during Resident Evil week, which is this week. Yeah. But the guy's nowhere to be found. I wish him the best of luck and life. And, I hope he's okay.
Wait, oh, hold on. Wait, there's someone at the studio door. Jordan, do you want to let them in? Oh, my God. We have a special. It's unbelievable. We were just talking about having someone in here. Hi, please hop on the mic. Introduce yourself. Hey, it's me, Bubsy. I'm back, and I'm in 3D. What's the matter? Cat got your tongue?
I hope that every listener who is like, I'm tired of the Resident Evil shtick, is prepped for 27 weeks of Bubsy.
Yeah.
What are you guys talking about this week? Are you talking about me?
Hey, no, Bubsy. We'll never do Bubsy.
Are you kidding? You're not going to talk about Bubsy and Fractured Furry Tales?
Hey, Bubsy, how have you been this week? What's your backstory? What have you been doing that's seemingly out of character?
Seemingly out of character? What's that supposed to mean? Supposed to live up to your expectations of subverting what you know about Bubsy? No, I'm Bubsy. I'm a fun cat. I like to make cat puns.
You're okay. So you're just one note. Right down the canyon, just like going for the okay. Got
honestly,
it.
Honestly, a great fit for the show.
Bobcat in your face. That's a thing I say.
Jesus, what does that mean?
You get it. It's pretty superficial.
I feel like some context needs to be given to our listeners. So typically, this segment was introduced by a character who's no longer with us. And so we have a guest MC for the segment, who is Bubsy. And if you aren't aware of 90s video games that didn't really hit, Bubsy was a mascot attempt by a third-party developer, which I think was retired after a terrible 3D video game starring this Bubsy cat character.
Yeah, I've had a lot of free time since Bubsy 3D's critical and commercial failure. But, I'm still happy to make appearances on whatever podcast will have me. I'm doing Ben Shapiro next.
Oh. I would imagine with all of that time to yourself, Bubsy, that you would have exhibited some personal growth. Like, what have you been doing this whole time?
I kind of been on a pouncing spree. I guess I've been taking some chances, but I only regret that I have but 9 lives to give. Hey, I heard the problem with your last guest who'd come in and introduce the segment is they were too weird and annoying.
And here's the thing. It's one of those situations where you're looking at your grass and it's like, this is pretty nice. This is nice grass. But then you see your neighbor's grass and you're like, holy shit, look at that grass. But what? Your grass might be greener. What's the phrase?
Speaking of grass, where in here can I piss?
Oh, God. Oh my. Well, there are no litter boxes on the Sirius XM floor, but and which I've complained about because I do think that is, you know, that's it's not very cat friendly. We do have a lot of cat guests here. So I'll run it up the chain, see if Howard can make something happen. Maybe Baba Booey can, or any of the Whack Pack can.
Those guys are great.
Can assist. But Bubsy, if you're going to be here and you're going to do what, the Resident Evil merchant used to do, you got to hit us with that phrase.
Okay. Can I cat it up a little bit? What are you spaying?
Honestly, that's good. And, you know, it reminds me, a couple of weeks ago, I said Bob Barker was rolling in his grave. He's very much, in fact, alive. He's alive still, as of today. He's an ancient man, but he's still alive. And I just wanted to offer that correction, and God bless him.
I wish his name was Bob Meower. Well, bye.
Okay, wait a minute. Honestly? Bubsy rocks. That was great.
Oh, no. Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with Spring Break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players, start playing with just $5 and get $100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code GETPLAYED to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours! Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility and other restrictions apply. One per opted-in new customer. $5 wager required. Max $100 in casino credits awarded, which require one-time playthrough within 168 hours. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/promos. Restrictions apply. Remember when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, there are hundreds of families who have still not yet been reunified.
Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
They've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that all families belong together, then join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer.
Who wants to go first?
I think Heather was saying she was going to go first.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go first.
Yeah, then Bubsy came in.
it's time for the Fortnite corner. Our Battle Bus is going really strong. Been playing with a lot of listeners over the last week whenever I get that half hour free time to sit down and play a little Fortnite. They've introduced a bunch of new mechanics to the game. An entire section of the city is now cyberpunk themed. There are Akira style bikes, like street racing bikes and fast cars and rail grinding a la Sonic Frontiers. There is a ton of new augments, new quests, and also the lovable camaraderie b- between the listeners of the show, both on and off the game. We are also, I guess, in the first stages of developing our own private battle royale experience for Get Played people. So, like, it'll only be Get Played versus Get Played people.
Wow.
That's really fucking cool.
I didn't know somebody that was possible.
Somebody on the Discord has a creator code.
Wow.
Which also we're going to try and get an official Get Played creator code moving forward once those open up again. Right now, Epic has them unlock until they release some new tools or some shit. I don't know. But yeah, it's a great time. I haven't had an opportunity to play any other video games this week. And not because I've been like fucking drowning in Fortnite, but because I've been busy. And I think that
I'm sick.
And I'm sick. I'm fucking sick.
Yeah.
So, you know, sorry to be a letdown, but maybe it's nice that one of us represents an ongoing gaming service platform while the other two represent dabbling in video games.
I would imagine
that's a little dismissive, but okay.
No, I think to Heather's point, like, you know, you talk about Fortnite a lot because you are playing Fortnite a lot.
Yeah.
And that's good. And it's because it's a game of note. It is a game that millions of people play. So if there is a dissenting opinion on that, I would assume they are a vocal minority. And which a lot of online discourse is led by, it turns out. And shut the fuck up.
One of the most frequent things I see on the Discord or even on Twitter is people being like, I didn't play this game until you started preaching about it. And now I have put in 30 hours in 2 days. Like it's a good game.
It's good.
It's good.
And yeah,
the feeling of getting a crown is better than, I don't know, almost any of the minor victories of our lives.
Sure.
It's a really satisfying experience.
I think, to your point, Heather, a lot of people do play games as like service, like they do people do just play like ongoing games, you know?
Yeah.
That's just like what you do. Like, and that the gaming has turned into a point where like you could just like, that's basically my golf. I just get on and I play Apex Legends or whatever. So, like, it's fucking fine.
Yeah. If you want something new to complain about your full diapers, fucking babies.
Matt, what have you been playing?
Okay, so I actually have a massive update,
wow.
Not really that, but about Pokemon Black, which I was really, really enjoying. And notice how I said was.
Oh, boy.
I was really, really enjoying Pokemon Black, playing it on my Steam Deck via emulation. And I've run into some sort of problem with my file. The save's fine, but something's happening in the game where if I try to advance, like it's like I'll get to a point where, and it's happening in the same point constantly. Where like I'm moving to the next town and there's like a dialogue sequence where I'm talking to like the gym leader in that town or whatever, and we're supposed to be moving on to the next thing, and she's like, take a look at this, and something's supposed to come up and my screen goes black, completely black, and stops. And it happens every time I've tried it. I've tried it like 3 or 4 times at this point.
And it's Pokemon Black, right?
It's Pokemon Black.
Is it possible this is a Kojima style fourth wall breaking thing of like Pokemon Black, now the screen is black? Think about it.
I let the screen go for like 5 minutes because I was like, maybe something's happening. I just don't get it because the music was going and stuff too. But I just like nothing was happening. And so I want to just dig in a little bit and see if there's something I can do to fix it without losing my save. I have not super far into it. I probably have like 3 or 4 gym badges at this point, but I'd hate to lose like 5 hours of progress, even though I did just start a new save on Persona 5 Royal after spending about 40 hours on a different platform. But so I'm going to try to figure that out. But last week I mentioned that I had double dipped with Red Dead Redemption 2 for Steam Deck, and I've been playing that. And this is not new information. It's one of the best games of all time. It's so fucking good.
Wow.
And it's just like, it looks astounding. I'm astounded at how good it looks on the Steam Deck.
I've tweaked the settings a little bit to run it at a slightly lower resolution and refresh rate, and it still looks, it looks incredible. It's so great. The story is so good. I forgot how fun it is to just go and do like little side quests and stuff. And it's surprisingly a relaxing game for end of day, sort of like I'm winding down. Because a lot of the time, I'm just on a horse, just going from town to town, you know? So like, I just like getting on that horse and seeing what I see. And it's I love it. It's so good.
Have either of you ever been on a horse in real life?
I have.
Yes. You have?
Yes.
You both
yes.
been on? Jordan, have you been on a horse? Jordan is not. I've never been on a horse.
We all get on horses.
I got on a horse in Hawaii.
Wow.
And I went on like a trail. It was like a horse, like it was like an excursion. I was on a horse for like a couple of hours. And it was the most magical thing I've ever done. I loved it. My horse was an idiot, too. he just kept like stopping and like drinking and eating and stuff. And he would not, if any horse, he was like afraid of the other horses, too. So he was a little beta horse.
Wow.
But he wasn't afraid of me. He was actually like trying to alpha me, which was, you know, its own thing. But he was afraid of everybody else.
Heather, what was your horsing experience?
I rode a couple of horses as a kid and stopped riding horses when I was at a party and the horse decided to run away with me on it.
Oh, my God. So
I was on a horse that was just galloping and I was a child and I was scared. And they had to like get on a horse to catch up with the horse. And it was one of those, it wasn't like a rich person's party. It was like, hey, we're all going to ride horses. So meet at the stable where you can rent a horse for a day. But that was my last experience with a horse.
I love riding horses in video games. I've never been on a horse in real life. I wonder what I'd think about the experience. I'm sure there would be a learning curve for it. I'm sure it'd take me a while to figure out how to do it.
It's not that hard. Because, like, the thing about these, like, especially, like, in the situation that I was in, it's, like, everybody is there to do this thing, and most of the people there have never been on a horse. I'd never been on a horse before.
Right.
And so they basically, like, tell you, like, okay, so, like, these are the quick little things you have to know. You know, I couldn't tell you what it is now. But, like, they give you these little tips and tricks and stuff, and they're all pretty, in a situation like that, they're pretty used to doing this particular route, so they're not going to go crazy or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But there was a horse. It was like me, my girlfriend, and like a family who none of them spoke English. And so it was just us. And like they were doing this tour for us, basically, because like they didn't speak the other language, the tour guides. And it was so, I felt so bad because I was like, they're having the hardest time.
Yeah.
Because they're not getting any of the, no, you're supposed to shift this way type of thing.
Right.
And so people are like physically moving these people on these horses. But it's pretty easy. You could do it. It's hard though, because like you have to like, the thing that's hard about it is it's hard on your legs. And like, I don't have a lot of leg.
Got it.
To do, and then like they wanted me to, they were like, could you just like put one leg over the horse from the ground? And I said, you see how much leg I got. I can't do that. I had to get up on a big rock and like basically like jump on the horse.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting to know. My experience with a horse is I acted in a sketch on the Comedy Bang Bang TV show where there was a horse. It was like a game show called Look a Gift Horse in the Mouth. And so the whole thing was, or don't look a gift horse in the mouth. And the whole goal was you're not supposed to look at the horse in the mouth, but you can't resist it because the pull is, it's irresistible. So
that's so funny.
So it was a Tim Kobaka sketch. And so the thing that I had to do in it is I had to like walk up and grab a horse by like the mouth and like pull it to and like look at it. And it was so fucking scary because I was like, this thing is like four times my size.
This
is a huge, powerful horse. And there was a trainer there and he's like, you got to really yank at it. Like, just grab that thing. Just grab the shit out. Like, he was like telling me to like be really aggressive with the horse. I was like, I don't want to do this. This thing's going to maul me or bite me, like bite my hand. But it was like, but then I'd see him do it and he'd just like take control. And I was like, oh, this is just, he's just showing alpha dominance to this horse, which is I'm incapable of doing in any scenario, let alone with an animal I'm comfortable with. But yeah, I don't know. I would love to ride one because I love riding them in video games.
I wonder if horses can see the future and that's why that horse decided to run when I was on it.
It's that gas mask girl from the stories. But that's what I've been playing, Red Dead Redemption 2, and loving every second of it.
Wow. Well, I can talk now, and I'll give everyone an update on my progress in Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, which I've gotten some more hours in this past week. Bosses I've taken down since the last record, just to give people who played the game a sense of where I am in the narrative. Folding Screen Monkeys, Guardian Ape, Headless Ape, which is a double ape fight. You got to fight the fucking Guardian Ape again with a second ape. And the Corrupted Monk, plus a bunch of mini bosses. And I am currently on a post major choice late game spoiler boss. I don't know how much game is left, but it feels like I'm nearing the end. And this definitely was a thing where I looked it up and it's like, oh, this is where endings branch. So, you know, I'm on the back end. The boss fights are so fun and they're so satisfying. And it's just a blast to sort of, because you can't really. Contra Elden Ring or Dark Souls, which are the other FromSoft games I've played a lot more Elden Ring. You can kind of, you know, you can over level for a scenario or in Elden Ring, you know, you can use summons and you don't really have those, you know, crutches available to you in Sekiro. You just kind of have to learn the mechanics and learn the patterns and figure out how to outduel these enemies, but it's so satisfying when you ultimately overcome it. I will say the Guardian Ape it's a very satisfying fight and one I'd heard about. This was just like, oh, that boss is like kind of crazy and intense. And so I was looking forward to trying it out and felt very satisfied to best it. Although it did fucking get me with one of the, you know, what they do in these From games, they'll do a little misdirect. And this one, it brings up their equivalent of the Elden Ring enemy felled. It's a shinobi assassination. I think it's shinobi assassination. It brings that prompt up. A shinobi execution, I think, is what it is. Shinobi execution. It brings that up, and the health bar goes away. The enemy's dead, and I'm just like, ah, fuck, I fucking did it. And you start walking away, and then the ape, and as part of the execution animation, you cut his fucking head off. So, like, he looks so unbelievably dead.
Yeah.
And you start to walk away, and then he stands up holding his head in his hand, which he can bring up to his neck hole and use that to scream, which causes terror. And if you get terrified enough, you just die instantly.
Sounds like me.
It's like a Disco Elysium mechanic.
It 100% is that. fully Disco Elysium. And, It's obviously a much more challenging second form, but you know, you ultimately best that. Then it has a thing where a fucking, from his neck hole, a centipede crawls out. And then you have to kill the centipede. And the centipede is not like an enemy that you fight, but it's just so monstrously horrifying.
Yuck.
The idea that the centipede is like taken over this dead ape's nervous system. You have to like, you know, use the mortal blade to fucking sever it. And you have to do that again. It's just it's very memorable and visceral and it's honestly super duper fun. I've been having a blast with this. Just to touch on a couple more things I like in addition to the combat. So I'll zero in on one example of the level design, which I really admire. One of the areas in the game is Senpu Temple, and there is a kite that raises up to the sky, and you have to figure out how to solve this puzzle to get the kite positioned correctly, which involves possessing a monkey, a lot of apes in this game. Anyway, once you do that, you can swing over to an area where you can see from your vantage point there's an item over there. And so use your grappling hook to swing over from this kite to this little landing. And there's it's a high value consumable item. But there is a moment where you're like, is that all there is? Was it all this work for that? And it kind of leads you to look around a little bit. And then you look around and you say, wait, there's a tree way the fuck down there. Can I just sort of blind jump and just hope that there's a grapple point? And you do that and there is. And then that leads you to like a ledge that you can, you know, crawl hand over hand. It's just one of those things where so many other games would not allow the user to be confused or frustrated or stuck for a second. Mm-hmm. And that moment of being stuck and feeling like there's got to be something else going here leads to discovery, which is so much more satisfying than being coddled and being given a waypoint and directed for what to what your next objective should be. It's just one of those moments that is like, fuck, I get, as someone who's not even like good at these games, but has really gotten into them, I'm just like, I get why people just like get into this franchise or get into these franchises and just want to spend all of their gaming time with them, like Heather does with Fortnite. I'm just having an absolute blast. Contra this, I will say there's a puzzle with this monk called Kotaru, who seems like he's kind of a, you know, a simple-minded man, if I can say that, and he has or has some, you know, something wrong with him mentally, and he is in distress, and he's asking for a white flower. And so there is a red and white pinwheel you can find, but also in like a more hidden area that, again, you discover through exploration, there is a pure white pinwheel. So I figured out, okay, I gave this guy the pure white pinwheel, and then I'm going to satisfy this quest line. But no, at that point, then he asks you to do something else. And what he asks you to do is, I want to be spirited away. Now, your clue for what that means is that you have one of your items, one of your shinobi prosthetics, has in its description that one of its purposes, not even as like the like this is what this does, but like as kind of like a little bit of flavor text, it says that it can spirit something away. And so you have to pick up on that in order to use that on this guy to get it to the next stage of the quest line. But even that is like you have to also have upgraded that item, which I found out through looking through a wiki because I was just so confused.
Yeah.
So it does kind of reach that point where it's sometimes a little too obtuse and inscrutable. But by and large, I'll take that trade off any day. And also probably if I was less stupid, I could have figured that out. But it's just this game's fucking great. I'm really hoping that I'm hoping I can finish it this week because, you know, I don't want to stop playing it, but I do want to have time for other games.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And also the other thing I played some is the Resident Evil 4 demo, which we're going to talk about right now. We all played through this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the Resident Evil 4 demo, it happened last time I was streaming last week. It happened to have just been released. So I downloaded and played through it on stream. I will say there's definitely so much stuff I'd forgotten about a game that came out in, what, 2004, 2005 originally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking 20 years ago.
But I do think it is. I was playing on. Isn't that wild?
Yuck.
But I do think that. I was playing it on PC. I do think it's gorgeous. I think it looks really, really great. It looks and feels like a modern game.
Yeah, that was sort of my. I mean, I've played it. I played it on PlayStation 2, which was it was not released for that first. It was released for GameCube first, correct?
Yeah.
So I played the PlayStation 2 port. Somehow finished that when I was like 14 or something. I could barely get through this without like fearing for my life somehow. I was so scared.
It's terrifying.
And like I've repurchased it on Switch, like a Switch port. I've purchased the VR version. And I haven't even been able to just play those. I think I've just gotten more afraid as I've gotten older.
Yeah.
And this version, it seems like I could tell that they're like expanding things a little bit and it's like a little different because like in my memory, the the first level, the first area, when you go in the cabin, it's like one room. Mm-hmm. There was like more rooms in this cabin. There's like stairs and like you have to kind of like explore it a little more.
Yeah. In addition to that, it's not just that they've upgraded they've given it another, you know, layer of graphical polish. It's or another, you know, few generations worth of graphical polish. They've actually changed the layout of some of the levels.
But one of the things remained intact from the early game is when you find a shed in the woods and there's just a fucking guy in there ready to kill you.
Fucking hate that guy.
He just jumps out. But I had I loved the way it looked, and I will be picking it up even though I'm terrified.
There was some glitching on, you know, the player character's hair on the PC version, at least. I imagine that, you know, again, that could be driver specific. They could have a game ready driver that's released by the time the retail game comes out. But, you know, it's there have been so many shoddy PC ports in recent memory that I do worry that there's, other than that, it looked and felt great. But, you know, I think that's always a possibility. Heather, what did you think playing through this bad boy?
So many thoughts. Many thoughts. I have really potent memories of playing Resident Evil 4 back in the day. I was living in Holland. I had a GameCube, and was really, really fucking excited when that game came out. I was playing it with my friend. Every weekend we would have one day off at work. And we would get together, eat pizzas, and play Resident Evil 4. So, like, I have a really warm feeling about this game. Also, I think I've talked about this pizza, this specific pizza,
on the show before. Refresh your memory.
So, Domino's in Holland had a pizza called the Double Decker, which was a hand-tossed pizza with a Dutch cheese, and then a crispy thin crust pizza on top of the Dutch cheese with regular pizza toppings. So it was a soft and crispy bite every time you bit.
They had a version of the double decker in the States. It was not with Dutch cheese, but they did have, that layer of dough, cheese, oh, toppings.
So that it was dough, great. Cheese, crispy sauce, cheese.
Yeah, it was similar to that, yeah.
Oh my God, it was so good.
It's great.
It was a really good feeling. And fuck, at the time, Resident Evil 4 was such a fucking good game.
Mm-hmm.
There was something prickly about running around killing Spanish-speaking dehumanized monsters this time that felt a little prickly. Like, it felt like, this doesn't feel right. It feels bad. In some way, it feels bad.
I'll tell you, I felt similarly in Red Dead Redemption 2 when I accidentally killed a stranger and felt horrible. I felt really bad, and I don't know why. That's new. That's a new one for me.
Yeah. I don't know. There's just like a sort of 20-year-old sensibility about like what an enemy looks like.
Yes.
That was weird to me on this play. Like in other Resident Evil games, it's just like fucking zombies, you know, like just zombies. But this is like a village of like Spanish speaking people and they're doing some kind of thing on their own. And this fucking white guy, this white cop guy comes in and just starts blasting people. It just seems...
I get what you're saying. I do think, and I don't know if this is gonna get me in trouble. I think they're European.
They're
Spaniards.
Yeah.
You could argue that they are actually colonizers. So I think it's fine.
Yeah,
they're
Spanish. It's fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Spain, they're white.
I think it's okay.
Okay.
If my 23andMe is to be believed, Spain colonized both sides of my heritage, thus making up a large percentage of it.
Yeah, it's not.
On this show, we despise Spain.
Here's what's weird about it to me. Here's what's weird about it. Isn't where they're from, but that like somebody speaking another human earth language
yes.
would be othered in a way that makes violence acceptable.
100%. Right, because yeah. That's the whole convention of the zombie genre, is that it's a way to otherize human beings, and now we can safely execute them, right? And it's
yeah,
like it's,
yeah.
So I get what you're saying. It does feel a little bit weird that there's this this cultural contrast versus the protagonist. I do get that point. It does have a little bit of a weird feeling.
It's just prickly. It's prickly, and I was like, man, I wish these guys weren't saying anything.
Yeah,
like it's weird that they're saying stuff. Not because I'm like if they were speaking the same language as Leon, I'd be like, all right, fuck these guys, kill them, kill everybody. But it's weird that it's like, ugh, they're
yeah.
making a real sandwich of the fact that these guys aren't speaking the same language.
It was weird.
They're suspicious.
It was weird that Leon kept being like, speak English.
Aggressively.
Yeah.
What you said about it playing it on the GameCube, because that was my experience as well. And this was originally a GameCube game.
So amazing.
And also just like kind of a break from a lot of the GameCube titles. I know there were other GameCube games that, you know, there was like Eternal Darkness. There were other more adult GameCube games. But by and large, we know what Nintendo does. We know where their bread is buttered. But this is like... It's fascinating how this was a GameCube game and this was a GameCube franchise. I believe largely because Shinji Mikami decided like, hey, yeah, that's I just like this platform. Mm-hmm. I just want to put this stuff here. I don't remember if any money actually changed hands. I just kind of think that it was just like an auteurist decision to be like, I want to anchor this franchise to this platform, even though it's certainly not the most dominant and maybe not the best. Fit from a marketing perspective. But the same year that Resident Evil the movie came out, I think Resident Evil the original Resident Evil remake, Resident Evil for GameCube, came out. And also there was Resident Evil Zero, which I believe also predated Resident Evil 4 on GameCube. I should look this up. Anyway, that was just like it eventually obviously got ported to everything, but I found it It's such a fascinating subplot that they decided to develop this thing for GameCube.
Yeah, and then I'm seeing here that because its first port was to the PlayStation 2, and it's after, I guess, Capcom said that it wasn't under an exclusivity deal. They just for some reason were like, it's going to be on GameCube. It's kind of interesting that it would just be there because like there's no like I don't think of Nintendo as like the blood system.
It's definitely not the blood system.
Yeah.
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 And I almost exclusively think about Resident Evil in PlayStation terms.
Right.
Just because of that's just how it's always been to me.
Well, that's what it launched on PlayStation 1. That was one of the games I remember wowing me as a Nintendo kid and my friend's PlayStation being, holy shit, they look at Final Fantasy VII, look at Resident Evil. This is fucking unbelievable. I got to get one of these systems. And it was the first non-Nintendo system I ever bought.
I remember going to like my uncle's room where he was playing video games, seeing that he was playing Resident Evil and being like, I'm getting out of here. I'm not watching this. I'm scared. But I think because this demo gets you up until the chainsaw, not Chainsaw Man, but the chainsaw guy.
Chainsaw Man.
Yeah, that's sort of the biggest deviation in the remake so far is that Denji from Chainsaw Man is in the game, and you see him and you can.
These zombies are dumb as hell. Let's fucking chop them up.
I gotta take a shit.
Let's just get this over with so I can shit. You get to that encounter and then you can either try to take down as many of the villagers as you can or. Run around like I did, scared.
Yeah, me too.
Until the bell from the clock tower rings, and then they all sort of are summoned inside and leave you alone. They don't care anymore. And then the demo's over. It's about less than a half hour worth of game in the demo, but I liked how it played. I was excited about the control of it and how it felt. It had that Tony Hawk... remake feel, and not in this, it feels like that, but it felt how it felt to play it originally
yes.
to me.
Yeah. Which we've kind of used as our as kind of the gold standard, that and the Diablo 2 Resurrected is like, oh, these are the remasters that really like nail it. But I feel like when we talk about Metroid Prime Remaster, that may be also a new the new standard will standard bearer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's also like it's interesting to be in kind of this there's this bundle of remakes that are all coming out in the same sort of quarter of the same year of with the Dead Space remake, Metroid Prime Remastered, the surprise one, and then Resident Evil 4 remake. And I don't know that again, there's parts of me that are like, why are we making these games? But it's also like some of the stuff is not super. I guess these are still pretty. This is RE4 is still pretty available. You can just get it on Steam.
If I had to guess what it is, I think it is that the people who played these games when they were new, us, now have. They've calculated that we have expendable like income that they're just like, oh, we'll just, you know, we'll bank on nostalgia being enough to get them to buy the same game but new.
Yes.
And it unfortunately does work more often than not.
100%. And also I think the other thing is that obviously they're coasting off of the success of the Resident Evil 1 through 3 remakes.
Yeah.
But those were like complete overhauls, cuz those were, you know, PS1 games with tank controls. They really did not feel like modern games at all. Whereas Resident Evil 4, I think, you know, if you go back and play the original version, still like,
Resident Evil 4 also is the only Resident Evil game I've ever played.
Wow.
So I've heard that the 2 remake is really great.
I've heard that's the best one. I have not played.
Yeah.
I played Resident Evil 2 on PlayStation 1.
It's $10 on Steam right now.
Fuck. I'll add another game to my queue that I won't actually play. What were you going to say, Heather?
I was going to talk about the feeling of the combat a little bit.
Please.
Which is, the bullets felt so fucking weak.
Like, they really did, and you do not have enough of them early on.
No.
I'm out there fucking slaying dudes, because you line up that headshot and then you kick them to the ground and it's fine. But after, it's funny, after playing exclusively Fortnite violence, which I don't think of as like a really penetrative form of combat, like it's a little bit like cartoony and campy, that the Fortnite bullets have more, like they soak in more than the Resident Evil bullets, which felt like airsoft bullets. Like they really don't do the kind of, and I guess that's part of the joy of Resident Evil, is that by the time you get to the big guns, you feel like you're doing damage finally.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know that there's a way to get a better gun in the demo.
You can get the shotgun, which the chat was telling me that, Weiger, you keep missing the shotgun. Like, you're right next to the shotgun. Grab the shotgun. And I was just frantically running around kicking ladders down, trying to bludgeon guys.
I would have felt so much safer with the shotgun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on the upper. It's on like the upper level of one of the buildings in the town.
Mm.
Yeah, and I missed it.
Yeah, so my one thought was that those bullets are thin little boys.
Yes,
those are thin little boys.
I was like straight up shooting them in the face, and it didn't do anything. And I was just like, that added to why I was afraid. And I was like, oh God, they could take a bullet to the face.
Yeah, I think that's by design. That's part of their menace, right? They're these unkillable bullet sponges that keep coming at you.
And then when the big guy comes with the chainsaw, I was ready to turn it off.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. There's an old lady with a rake. Fucking stealth killed the shit out of her.
Oh God. I thought you were going to say that you thought she was hot.
Better that I killed her. I'm relieved you murdered her. Yeah. Let's talk about the movie Resident Evil in our segment, The Game Was Better. This was written and directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, who had just directed Mortal Kombat, which was a huge hit. Also directed Event Horizon, a film I really like. Probably his best film.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Heather, you seen Event Horizon?
Yes. Many years ago, I saw Event Horizon.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's got some ideas.
Definitely has ideas.
Yeah, it's got some ideas.
Mila Jovovich is the star of this movie. She and Paul W.S. Anderson end up marrying afterward and make five more of these together. And him working on them in various capacities, either as a writer or director. Also, Michelle Rodriguez in the cast, and Ryan McCluskey is the other big lead.
McClunky,
yeah. The George Romero was originally going to direct a script that was much more authentic to the game's story. And basically, I think there was one executive who just was like, get Romero out of here. We need to get someone else. But there is a Biohazard 2, what they call Resident Evil in Japan, as we talked about. There's a Biohazard 2 Japanese commercial he directed. So this is kind of a proof of concept slash what could have been. Matt, if we can play some of this. We got cops. We got zombies approaching. Very, very Romero style walking zombies. Shotgun is tossed.
Accurate costumes.
It's the best looking commercial I've ever seen.
It's fucking sick as hell.
It's awesome.
And it's just like, fuck, man. I mean, you know, whatever. The guy who basically birthed this genre, it would have been nice if he could have been given this major franchise, which was so clearly inspired by his works. But, you know, whatever, it was overruled and we end up with these movies. So the movies that we have are a fairly tenuous connection to the game narratives. There are certainly, you know, elements that are present, but it's not like this is this is the story that we know from the first game.
I had never seen this before.
Interesting.
And
Heather, had you seen this before? It had been years for me.
Yes, I have seen this movie before, and it had been many years for me. There's so much to say about this movie. What were you going to say, Apodaca?
I had never seen it before, and I sort of knew that it wasn't one-to-one with the games, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was like this. I didn't know that. Like, it's just what struck me really about it is that, like, I'm not like a film scholar or like snob, sure, or anything. I like a lot of trash, but I like good stuff too. But I was just like, this is so clearly an early 2000s movie, because it has that like sort of like blue tint kind of, that's like X-Men 2000, right? It's like The Matrix. There's a lot of just like machinery stuff and like white rooms,
right,
and things like that. It's like, oh, like this is like, yeah, like Equilibrium.
It's got a Y2K aesthetic.
Yes, yeah, it has a
very
Y2K
much so
aesthetic, and it's like completely not what Resident Evil is at all. There's like one thing in it that I was like, why wasn't it this? It could have been this the whole time.
I was also kind of surprised at the like long knife of the Matrix that seemed to be well wielded by this movie. That, and there's a indie film which I feel like everybody's seen at this point called Cube, and
oh yes,
they just borrow elements of Cube and put it in a Resident Evil the movie. Cube is a really intelligent indie film that was about a group of people who get trapped inside of like a cube where each room is a puzzle, and the puzzles are deadly. And what makes it genius is that you only need one set, because every room is a different room in the cube, but has a different color scheme. So it's just achieved by lighting. So you just get to film the entire film in one set. Very, very, very
That's
smart
awesome.
Way to do a fucking sci-fi movie. But one of the traps is like a slice you up into little chunks.
Yeah.
Laser thing. And it's the same visual effect as was used here in Resident Evil. And if I'd made Cube, I would have been like, but that's my cube.
That's mine.
Yeah, that's my thing.
And also
I made the cube.
Yeah, there's an exposition cop, the guy who has a pretty thankless role of just like saying, here's everything that's happening. He has so many like long chunks of just like explaining what's going on with the Umbrella Corporation.
Yes.
And the various, you know, serums they're developing, and the AI computer that's gone haywire. What the fuck is that computer called? I should have written it down.
The Red Queen?
Red Queen, yeah. So much about the, like, he's explaining how the Red Queen works. And then in that scene, yeah, he gets diced up with you know, like lasers exactly like they do in that movie. I think it's wires in that movie, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's the same effect.
Same effect. Guys, my first note that I took during watching Resident Evil is that the cold open of this movie, which slaps, is about a guy who's got like the full hazmat gloves, is like doing something with like a chamber of, like, he's got like a DNA style double helix virus vials, and he's loading them into a suitcase, and then he like gets the briefcase, and it's high action, and he turns in front of the door and he throws one across the room, and then you track the virus that he's just unleashed in this storage room designed for handling the most deadly virus in existence, and it just goes straight into the ventilation and is spread through the entire building.
Well, and also upon exit, he knocks into a guy and spills coffee out over him, and the guy goes, thank you.
But then that gets called back, and you see that's why he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
He spilled the coffee on the guy and didn't say anything. That's how we know he's a villain. Boy, I don't know. I was torn on that cold open.
I loved it.
It's cool. It's cool, but I also kind of think like they could have just started the movie with Jovovich waking up in the shower confused. But that said,
that's where you started tuning in.
Could have spent some more time there.
Yeah, and then maybe lose the sheet.
They do at the end of the film.
They do, yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts. The way that it was so gratuitous and so weird. And then it's sort of slightly weirder to know that the director's like, I'm going to marry this woman. I'm going to do this. I'm going to put her in this situation and I'm going to marry her.
Right. I met her before. Uh-huh. And she was a lovely person to talk to. She was actually like had a good sense of humor, like really wanted to do comedy. This is when I was working at Funny or Die. And it was the kind of thing of like, oh, well, you're like this is the role that Hollywood has decided that you do. You're going to be the sci-fi action, woman. But like I feel like, oh, you could have been. Veronica Corningstone in Anchorman, you know, you could have played that role. Just like it just didn't work out that way. But anyway, yeah, she was a lovely person. I think she's a good actor, and I think she's good in this. But yeah, she is hypersexualized as she was in The Fifth Element, and it's also the same sort of like that trope of the full grown woman who's also like a clean slate, who am I? What do I know?
She has no thoughts of her own.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she has complete amnesia in this, and she also has a guy who's like. Like maybe her husband, although that's also it's unclear whether that's an implanted memory or not, and he ends up also being a bad guy.
A lot of the stuff in this movie belongs in a different movie.
That's the big thing. So this is the thing. What do you think about give a one word description of Resident Evil? I think anyone would say zombie, right?
Yes.
Like or zombies. That's just what you think of. It's a zombie apocalypse story. This is an hour and 40-minute film where the first zombie appears at minute 39.
Yes.
And it's like so much early on. It's just like it just feels like this is a computer gone haywire movie, which is fine. But it, like you're gonna have the Resident Evil franchise because what they end up landing on, and why I do feel like the back end of the movie largely works is it's just Die Hard with zombies.
Yes,
which is just like that's fine. Yeah, you're in a captive environment. You can't leave this office complex, and there are zombies there. That's a fun premise for a movie. That's more than enough to work with. But there's so much fucking pipe laid explaining the Red Queen and this all-knowing AI that's kind of gone haywire, but is maybe good. It's fucking.
They had
baffling.
They had to add this very complicated element,
yes.
And then spend 40 minutes explaining this complicated element. Mm-hmm. They could have just been like, hey. There's a virus in this building. There's zombies everywhere. You got to get out of the building. The building is underground. Get out.
Yeah, we're sending in an elite tactical force to try to take out these zombies.
And
great.
Then the flip,
bingo bango.
The flip on the end of that, at the very end, when credits are about to roll, that sort of works as a better twist if it's just like, oh, you thought it was just in here, sort of, you know what I mean? But because there's a lot of stuff in this movie that I was like, that's not Resident Evil. Like, there's a decapitation in the elevator in the beginning scene.
It's in the cold open, which is insane.
It's so crazy.
I'm with Heather. I do kind of like it. I think it's kind of awesome, but it's insane.
It just like doesn't, it's not part of it. Like it's just not part of it at all. And then even the diced up cube thing, I don't think That's not a Resident Evil thing. Like, I feel like technology horror isn't really part of it. That to me is more like Dead Space or something or something else. They just were like, let's put this obstacle course with lasers in it. It was like, okay, like, sure. But I will say in that diced up, when he gets all diced up, the grossest part isn't his like flesh meat like sliding off and splitting off. It's you see his eye like start to leak a little bit. It's so nasty. Gross.
It's pretty good.
I was like, I hate this part of it. I like that though. That's good.
It's a well done effect.
Yeah,
I think it looks pretty good. And I like you know, some of the CG I think has aged pretty well for a 20 plus year old movie. I mean, given the context,
and then some of it has not.
Some
aged
of it has
very
not.
Well,
but I will say, like, I was like looking at, like, when you know the stuff with the dogs, I was like, man, these dogs still look good.
The dogs is one of my favorite parts.
And then I looked it up. They put like fucking makeup on real dogs.
Oh God, that's not good.
No, and then it was saying like the crew struggled with the dogs trying to like get the makeup and costuming off. It's like, yeah, no shit.
You know, like, it was made of like pepperonis and stuff. It was really hard. I liked that. At least one of the dogs comes through the window, like in the game. I was like, that's good. At least they did that.
Yeah, there's a surprise. So I think the reason this movie was a success at the time was the bar was at the floor. Like, you didn't need to, all you needed to do was step over a line on the floor and you'd be a success. But that being said, even though this deviates so wildly from established canon, and there's enough like winks to the people who'd played the game without any of those winks being like story problems in order to include them, that like I was always like, oh, it's the dogs jumping through the window. Like I felt like okay, which reminds me of my favorite read of a line from the entire film, which is during the first zombie fight where they're all like, they're in a what they thought was a lunchroom, but they get to the lunchroom and it turns out to be full of these like pods that are creating nemesis creatures, right? Or they return to that room later, and after they have reset the Red Queen system, and everybody in the entire building is a zombie now, and they're having a fight, and there's a guy at a door, like one of the soldiers who's trying to input a code and like trying to break through a door so that they can all get away from these zombies. And the husband character next to him just goes, come on, man, let's go. Let's go. Like, just like that. And it is so funny. And I know what, like, I understand what it was going for, but it's also like a guy who's so like tired of being frustrated by the other characters, not even bothering to like raise his voice while zombies are coming at them is so funny. Come on, man. Let's go.
Come on.
Come on.
We don't have all day.
Yeah.
We don't have all day, guy.
There's a zombie over there. Yeah. Come on.
Enter the code. Come on. Let's go. It's really good read.
It's from the Weiger School of Acting. Can you go a little flatter? have your humanity exit your body.
Yeah. This is the first time you've ever spoke.
Yeah. But can I give you my favorite line reading?
Yeah.
Michelle Rodriguez, after she's been bit by a zombie, she's being helped away. When I get out of here, I think I'm going to get laid.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Like, I'm so fucking horny right now. I got to get out of here.
That line, I don't know if y'all watch the credits, but if you watch through the credits, there's like a Marilyn Manson song playing over it. And then at a certain point, they just replay that line.
Oh, God.
During the credits.
Fuck.
It's so insane.
I do something that I laughed at so much. She got bit like 100 times. And I was like, this is so crazy. She should be dead. And she gets bit like 5 times and is like fine for like an hour.
Yeah. Well, this is okay. So this is context that partly comes to me through because the Blank Check podcast, our friends Griffin Newman and David Sims recently have been doing. They did 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later, and 28 Days Later comes out the same year as Resident Evil the movie. These two films kind of like birth this modern zombie resurgence, which. For people now, you know, in the age of The Last of Us and what have you, it's like this is like and The Walking Dead. This is like ubiquitous. This is like a huge part of their culture. It's like what the Western used to be. It's like zombie is just like such a huge fucking genre. But there was like the first half of my life. It was like, oh, yeah, there was an old George Romero film that was made in the 70s called Dawn of the Dead. That's really cool. It's about these things called zombies. They're like undead. You know, it's like it was like a much more niche horror thing. And so, and the Resident Evil franchise first in video games, and then, you know, 28 Days Later and Resident Evil the movie end up, you know, having this resurgence. But 28 Days Later, by contrast, feels so much more like the contemporary, you know, established zombie canon, where it's like, okay, because the old school thing is like, yeah, you get bitten, you're going to hide this bite for a while, and then you're going to turn later, and it's like, that's not your wife anymore. 28 Days Later is like, oh, fuck, I'm going to turn into a zombie immediately. And that's kind of seems to be like what and zombies are fucking fast, too. Yeah. They're going to chase after you. They're not these slow plotting things. All that sort of got upended. And as such, I feel like this first Resident Evil, at least, feels a little bit like more of an old school take.
For sure.
Despite the modern, like, you know, AI trappings and what have you.
I want to go back to what you said about the cop, exposition cop.
Yes.
Because like the first 15 minutes of the movie are almost a silent film.
Yes. Right.
Like there's no dialogue. Like it's like you see the fucking dude with the T virus. You see it spread throughout the whole building. You cut to Mila Jovovich. She's in a shower. She doesn't know where she is. She opens a drawer and there's like organized clothes, but doesn't put on any of those clothes. She gets a dress and then she goes. A bunch of cops show up at her house. She goes with those cops. They're like their few lines they have are like breach, breach. Like it's just like fucking like weird SWAT team language.
Yeah.
And they finally get to a door and it's been 15 minutes before she's like, what is happening?
That also reminds me, we've talked about the cold open so much, but I was just like noticing this because I watched it yesterday and then I put it on again today because I was like, I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything. I didn't. But I did notice this the second time. Everybody in this lab, you would think in this lab, there'd be like some older scientists, like some stuffed shirts. They're all models. They're like all like hot. Yeah, it's so crazy.
It's soap opera casting. It is an extremely hot young cast from top to bottom in basically every role.
They're all the top scientists.
Yeah. It's that's kind of one of the things that kind of that takes you out of it. Or I don't know. I guess it's a choice, but
yeah.
All that said, I still kind of like this movie. I think it kind of works overall. Like you were saying, it's a deviation, Heather. It's a deviation from the source, but it does resonate. And I like it. And I think it did resonate at the time. And this whole franchise resonated. I mean, over the course of these W.S. Anderson films, they grossed $1.2 billion. The six Resident Evil movies.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people saw them. I also think that I don't remember where we were in terms of horror in 2002, but I think that's also part of it is just like, oh, there wasn't a lot of horror being released theatrically.
Not like blockbuster horror.
Yeah, it wasn't like a big thing. It wasn't as much as it is today where Scream 6 comes out and is this huge sensation. It wasn't the same sort of climate. So I think that's part of it, too. I don't know. I still kind of like it. It's got some stuff I like. I think the liquor sequence is pretty fun.
I was surprised at how much I was like, this is, I mean, it's certainly better for me, much better than Silent Hill. Like,
yeah,
I was like, I'm having a good time multiple times through a movie when I am not always having a good time. Whereas most of Silent Hill, the movie, I was like, I am having a bad time.
Sure, that's fair. I also I did like Silent Hill, as we talked about on the podcast, but I think that's a fair take. And I also think, like, I had the similar sort of reaction to Resident Evil, just like, yeah, I'm having fun at certain points. And it's kind of, it's very watchable. Like, it doesn't, like, it doesn't really, like, have any points where it lags, you know? It just kind of keeps moving.
It's just kind of like crazy.
If you watched a music video dream of being an action horror film. Like, yes. it's just, wow, everybody is kind of stylish. The lines are really arch.
That's so interesting. It is a music video.
It's a music video's dream of being a movie. And I'm really proud of this music video for doing such a good job.
Yeah, it became a movie.
Like, there's so many moments in that. There's like a moment when she like beats up dogs, which I was like, fuck yeah, go Jovovich.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, when she kicks the shit out of a dog.
I love it.
She kicks the shit out of
the
dogs.
The dog is bad, everybody, so it's allowed.
It's a zombie dog.
Yeah.
And then there's like a moment where she's just like looking at the floor in like slow motion, like breathing a little bit after she's just kicked the shit out of a dog. And the soundtrack's going, tucka, 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 tucka. And then she goes, and the scene cuts after she exhales. And I was like, that's fun. I like that early 2000s, like style for style's sake. It feels like Ringo Lam Hong Kong movies, or it feels good.
Yeah.
I want that shit. I like that shit. That's good shit.
It is very cool that she's an action star. Like, because like even in the early 2000s, that itself wasn't a thing. There weren't like a ton of female led action movies. And she's like, she is like the lead of a franchise. I guess you have the Underworld movies also, which is like a similar thing. Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah.
In a supernatural horror.
Also, I think Married to the Director.
Yeah.
Interesting that there are two of those. And I think I did read that there was a planned, and it's a bummer that it never happened, there was a planned Resident Evil / Underworld crossover.
That would have been so good.
Probably been the ultimate movie.
Yeah, well, here's, our world is stupid anyway. Give us the stupid shit. Give me the 21 Jump Street Men in Black movie. I don't give a shit. It would have been awesome.
That would have been rad.
But, a lot of it didn't work for me, but I didn't hate it. Like, I was still like, by the time I got to the end of this thing, which I sort of teased earlier, because like she escapes the facility, gets out on the fucking street. The whole world's all fucked up.
That's a great last shot.
It's so awesome. She just cocks a shotgun, pans out. The whole city's fucked. Yeah. I was like, I think I want to watch the next one.
It's a huge grain out, and I couldn't tell if it was, like, you know, aided by CG, but it looks like it was like, this has some production value. This looks like they just fucked up a street with a bunch of, you know.
No, they did.
Wrecked cars. Like,
they dropped a big bomb.
Carried out a small-scale apocalyptic event.
Yeah.
Filmed the aftermath.
Yeah. But it made me go, God damn it, I'm going to watch the second one, I think. I kind of want to see the rest of them.
This is the only one I've seen. I also saw
Resident Evil. I wouldn't do it. I really think there's like one pretty, I think the one where she's in Vegas is so crazy that I was like, well, this is, because I saw that one in the theater and I was like, that's pretty good. But it is diminishing returns from the stylish swing for the fences that the first one has something to prove. The first one's like, video game movies can exist. And the second one is like, you liked Resident Evil? What if we folded it in half on itself? By the time you're at 6, it's either, okay, the zombies are on motorcycles now, I think what I enjoyed about 6 is it's so bogged down by canon that it is almost indecipherable. Like, it's characters, maybe she has a twin in that one. It's been so many years, but it's like characters saying things like, well, if we don't use the junction system, all of Nemesis will be unleashed upon New York City. You mean New York City too? Of course I do. Like, it's just like, what the fuck? What?
I just want to point this out real quick, because the first three movies, the first one makes $103 million, $104 million, basically, the box office on a $33 million budget. That's great. $129 million for the second one, $149 million for the third. The fourth entry in this franchise doubled its worldwide gross, $300 million. That's insane. There should have been 30 of these movies.
Yeah, it's a wildly successful franchise, extremely profitable. Heather, have you seen all six of them?
I'm pretty sure I have.
Wow, this is the only one I've seen. I have I am now thinking though of watching all of them just for the fuck of it.
I might buy the 4K. Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to say that I know how these were made because I don't know how they were made, but I would guess that it was come up with the cool shit first and build a story backwards around it.
Sure.
So it'd be like, what if the Statue of Liberty became a zombie? And then like, I mean, not that that's in one of them, I don't think.
Okay, well, we have to cut this out and make that.
And like, so you know that they're working on the effects and the sequence of the Statue of Liberty becoming a zombie and like dragging its legs through New York and like breaking buildings.
Yeah.
But the previous film takes place in like Wyoming. So the first act of the next film is getting them from Wyoming to New York so that they can see the Statue of Liberty become a zombie. It's like mm-hmm. that kind of structure.
Right.
Which means that you could build a supercut, and I'm sure somebody has, of all the cool shit from Resident Evil movies, and what you would have is like a 4-hour bonanza of just cool shit. Like somebody shooting a bullet through a bullet in the air backwards at somebody to kill them, or whatever. Also, a pretty good idea for an effect.
Yeah, no, we have to scrap this whole thing. We got some movies to make.
I do like when there's like a movie that's like an okay movie, but has one like awesome set piece. Like I don't know if y'all have seen the movie Ghost Ship, but like the cold open of Ghost Ship. Just watch. That's all you need to see is watch the cold open of Ghost Ship. It's such a great, just a great starting point for a horror film.
Can I tell a story about my writing life? So when I was 19, I wrote a screenplay about a high school girl who finds out she's the Antichrist. It was a big action movie, and I got cool interviews from it, and it really started my career. And then I didn't know what it meant, and so I stopped my own career.
That's what happened to you.
Yeah. Well, there was like a 6-year period after that where I was just like, oh, you just write a movie and then you get and then it'll get made. Because yeah. I was a child yes, when I yeah. wrote that fucking film. But I had this big action sequence where the high school girl has wings that burst out of her back during like a climactic scene. And she flies up and catches a helicopter blades with her hands, lands as the helicopter explodes behind her. And then she uses those as swords.
Hell yeah.
And
it's alpha.
And I was like, but I also was watching a lot of anime at a time when nobody was watching anime. So the interviews I did were like, what is this? What is how did you?
That's not possible.
That's not possible. But that's the kind of like I want that all the time. And this film gives you a little bit of it.
And also in an era where, you know, again, it like this stuff was less in the collective consciousness. So what you were just saying, Heather, where like, yeah, they kind of had to do they felt like they had to lay a little bit more pipe to justify everything, which is why this is a little bloated expositionally.
And I got to say this, too.
Yeah.
We watched another Resident Evil movie for this show.
Oh,
Welcome to Raccoon
God.
City, which was faithful to the game.
Yeah.
In a fucking nightmare
Sucks.
In comparison.
Terrible movie. Really bad movie. This one's
Rough.
Much better.
Yeah. Because at least it's something.
Yeah. Any other thoughts or should we do a segment?
I can do a segment.
I do think we should say that we hinted at it. You just see her vagina. You see her vagina in the movie.
Yeah.
Which is such a strange thing to include in a theatrical cut of this movie.
I think if you're going to do that, you got to show somebody's dong too.
Make it equal opportunity.
It's so fucking weird.
But it kind of feels like they'd show it in a plausible deniability sort of way, where it's just like, oh, her coat just kind of flipped up
it's
like
just
that.
Out.
You know, it's like because it's not like they linger on it. It's just part. It's everything's in motion.
We only got one take.
Yeah, her gown flipped up. What are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
It is weird.
Crazy.
But other than that, what a film. Okay, it's time for a segment. It's our video game chart segment, Pixel Chart. And so so I'm going to have you guys guess the top five highest grossing Resident Evil games. These are the top five highest grossing Resident Evil games.
Highest grossing, not in terms of sales?
Or highest units sold.
Units sold.
Yeah,
okay,
that's what
it.
I mean.
Okay. Okay, this is,
And I have 1 through 10 available. If you say one, I can say
we're just trying
six
to,
or whatever.
We're just trying to guess top five. Okay, got it.
Number three, Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, you don't have to guess what number it is on
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Just guess what is in the top five.
Yeah.
I like that, though. Get an extra point if you get that. Great.
Heather, you're incorrect, but you are correct. Resident Evil 4, number 2, 12.3 million units sold.
Let me ask you a question. Are the remakes broken out separately from the originals?
They are.
They are. Okay.
And a remake, this is an accurate, this was published this week.
Okay. I'm going to guess Resident Evil 2, not the remake. Resident Evil 2 original.
It's number 10.
Fuck.
So we're guessing the top five. So we have four spots left. Number two, Resident Evil 4.
So, okay. So now I'm thinking, wait, okay, the PlayStation 2 had a much bigger install base than the PS1. So maybe like from that genre, from that era on, are more likely to be on here.
I'll say what I was about to say later.
Is there a gun survivor game in the top 10?
There is not.
Okay. Heather, you got another guess?
Resident Evil 2.
I already guessed that.
Which one?
I guess the original. You can guess the remake.
Oh, no, the remake.
That is number 4 on our list.
Wow.
Number 4, Resident Evil 2 2019 remake. Right. 11.2 million units.
How about Resident Evil 8?
That is number 6 on our list, Nick. Mm. Nick?
Resident Evil 0.
Not on the list. Not in the top 10.
I'll go Resident Evil 1 remake.
That is number 9.
Fuck.
On our list, Nick.
Village.
That's number 8, which was number 6.
Oh, okay.
And that's kind of the funny thing about this.
Wait, I thought Village was number 8.
Wait, what did you say?
I said Resident Evil 8.
Village is 8.
V-I-I?
Yeah, that's what I said, but you said 6. You said Village is 6.
Village is number 6 on the list.
These numbers are driving me crazy.
What was the really, really racist one?
That was 5, right?
I don't even know what that one was called.
I think that was Resident Evil 5. I don't think that's on the list.
Resident Evil 5 is number 1 at 13.5 million units.
Unfucking believable.
But think about this.
Yeah, that's the one where they go to West Africa.
And it's following Resident Evil 4, one of the biggest games ever.
And it's on a bigger console, so that makes a lot of sense. Okay, Resident Evil 5, number 1. Wait, what do we have in the top 5 that we've gotten?
We have Resident Evil 5, number 1. Resident Evil 4, number 2. Resident Evil 2, number 4.
The remake is number 4. Resident Evil 2 remake.
And this is the funny thing about this list is that there's numbers, but then there are also numbers.
Okay. So we've also got, I'm just trying to think of what we haven't, what hasn't been guessed yet.
We've guessed Resident Evil 8, which is number 6. We've guessed the original Resident Evil, which is number 9, and the original Resident Evil 2, number 10.
I'll guess 7, Resident Evil 7, Biohazard.
Resident Evil 7, Biohazard is number 3 on our list.
Okay, all right,
I'm on
the board. We got one
more to complete the top 5.
I'm surprised. It's interesting because like there haven't really been spinoffs that have been super successful. These are all mainline games, right?
That's right.
Okay, so what haven't we guessed? Guess Resident Evil 1 remake. Guess Resident Evil 2 remake. I don't think Resident Evil 3 remake was that successful.
Number 7 on our list.
Okay. Is it a remake or an original?
It's an original.
6? Is it fucking 6?
Resident Evil 6 is number 5 on our list at 10.9 million.
What a confusing exercise.
And just so you know, the original Resident Evil is number 8 on the list. So there you have it. Our pixel chart here. Number 5, Resident Evil 6, 10.9 million. Number 4, Resident Evil 2 Remake, 11.2 million. Resident Evil, number 3, Resident Evil 7 Biohazard, 11.7 million. Number 2, Resident Evil 4, 12.3 million. And number 1, the racist one, Resident Evil 5, 13.5 million.
Wow.
And there you have it. That was pixel chart.
Wow, and that's
but we have one more piece of business here, real quick. Heather, you're not here. You didn't see this. We were sent a package.
That's
right, to the studio.
We got a mystery box.
Mailbag.
So you guys are both dead, and I'm alive. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, a bunch of gas came out when I opened it. And this is from Eddard in the Discord.
Hi, Eddard.
Hey, Eddard. I play Fortnite with him all the fucking time.
Eddard rocks.
Well done, Eddard.
He left a note here. I'm just going to read it, and then I'll show the items enclosed. Hello. My name is Ed. I'm Eddard on the Discord. I said that. I wanted to thank everyone who works on this podcast, as it is not only fun and funny, but it has also kept me entertained for countless hours over the last 3 years. I have been a fan since episode 1, and I've never missed an episode. While I was never a huge gamer, the jokes, themes, and overall tone of the show is perfect. Heather is great, Matt is great, Nick is great, and they're all even better together. This podcast also turned me over to anime. I was never interested before, but after seeing Chainsaw Man and Blue Lock, I have been converted, and I'm now a Patreon Get Anime member as well.
Wow.
I was planning on purchasing a membership for only a month and binging some apps, but after listening to the first season of Chainsaw Man, I'm now keeping my membership indefinitely. I enclosed are a few items that can be dispersed amongst not only Heather and Matt and Nick, but anyone in the Get Played office. While they are geared to what I've learned the hosts like, anyone can enjoy them. Thanks, and keep up the great work that you do. Also, I want to make sure I get this PS in here. PS, I also want to thank Dropking, Surit, and Heather for adding the Fortnite channel to the Discord. Wow.
Wow.
Everyone's loving this Fortnite channel.
You
and PPS,
guys,
the Resident Evil merchant should return. but he gets nothing.
The Fortnite channel is like the back bar of the Discord. It's very active, but everybody's basically drinking.
Wow.
And the thing they're drinking is Fortnite.
There you go.
And here are the items enclosed.
This looks like some sort of apron. What is this?
It's an apron with a pepper on it.
Whoa.
And it says Tony Walk's Pro Skater.
That's sick as hell.
Well, that's definitely for Nick.
Yeah, that's for Nick. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. This is a t-shirt.
It says
No Mo Rules.
Oh my God, it's a No Mo Rules Ryuji t-shirt.
Wow.
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 This is a plush,
that's
and Heather,
cool as hell.
I think you're going to want this.
What
it's
is
a
it?
Ditto Trubbish.
Wow.
Oh, Ditto Trubbish. Holy shit.
It's very
I soft. Have a
I
Trubbish.
Keep this.
Fuck you. No, I'm not in the office. What do you know?
It has like
what
a,
are you doing?
It has like a zipper.
Wow.
Actually, maybe
oh,
I should
no.
give this to you.
Wow. Jordan, do you want this?
Yeah, you want this? Jordan's like, I've never even seen what this is.
Ditto Trubbish.
There's a t-shirt in here.
I love you, Ditto Trubbish.
It looks like a Trubbish t-shirt in here. It looks like there's two. Let me see what this says. So I can
make sure to rattle that plastic right on Mike. People love that.
Anybody has something I can chew on real quick?
Yeah. Hey, this is the sound of me opening a package.
Oh, yeah. This says literal trash with Trubbish on it.
That's awesome.
Fuck.
And looks like there's a second one here. This one has a bunch of Nintendo characters on it.
Very cool.
Oh, nice.
And then this one has Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 on it, this t-shirt. Wow. A lot of great
something
stuff
for everyone.
Fucking package.
What a package.
Holy
thank you, Eddard.
Shit.
What a haul. So cool. And thanks to everyone for listening to this week's Get Played. And thanks to Jordan Duffy, who's in studio with us. Jordan K. Duffy on Instagram does our engineering. Also, check out Get Animated. Heather, what are we doing behind the paywall this week?
We're watching Blue Lock. And I think we're on episodes 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking right. It's a sports anime that's not really about sports. It's actually secretly about combat and betrayals. And you can follow along by subscribing to us on patreon.com/getplayed, where we release episodes weekly. Those same episodes get released about a month later on Stitcher Premium, so you can listen to them either place. But we're watching Blue Lock. None of us expected to be watching Blue Lock, and none of us expected to be enjoying it as much as we are.
Yeah, it's a fucking blast.
Yeah.
A damn hoot.
Yeah.
But guys, I actually have some news.
Oh, okay, great.
Well, before Nick and I came into the studio, we got infected with the low T virus.
Guys, you got played.